mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 6. I'm starting not to like roads, Zuko thought darkly, touching the side of Asahi's neck to keep her quiet. The sounds from up around that blind corner were not good. On the one hand, roads meant people. Asahi needed grain to stay her best, and while he might be getting better at hunting, people couldn't live by meat alone. And letting Uncle try to gather wild plants was not happening. Roads meant towns, farms, trading posts, places they could trade skills or just willingness to work for a few meals or coin. On the other hand, roads meant people, with all their lovely habits. 3, at least, Iroh estimated quietly as they snuck closer. No more than 7, or we would hear more. They waited around the corner for their victims. A light wagon? Smart place for an ambush. A blind, sharp turn as the road bent around a tall outcrop of dust-brown stone. Brush crept up on the road's other side, making flight that direction a difficult choice. In those first critical moments of surprise, Zuko did not want to go around that corner. Not if there were any chance one of the attackers had enough sense to keep watch.
Mommy!
Go, Iroh dropped back, already plotting his own assault. Find the child. Sort out who are the bad guys later, Zuko knew, urging Asahi into a sprint. They rounded the bend, and she skipped sideways, dodging the lump in the road. The body. Earth Kingdom brown, splotched with red from an arrow driven all the way through. And never mind, it wasn't moving. Worry about it later. The handful of people around the wagon with its stolid draft ostrich horse were moving, and he had his Dao out and separated before the spearmen could even register there was a new fighter. Bandits. Spearmen. 2 with swords, holding an older woman. 1 in the wagon, on the girl. Meaning snatch, grab, and ride wouldn't work, and Asahi wasn't combat trained. One of many reasons he hadn't taken her near Azula. Zuko launched himself from her back instead, trusting the hen's truly rotten temper towards strangers to keep her out of grasping hands. The first whirling strike bisected the bandit's spear before it could come to bear. The second took his head. Swordsman, letting the woman go now, going for steel. But Zuko wasn't worried about them, not as much as he was about the bow and quiver laid in grabbing range against the side of the wagon. Probably by the bastard just rising to his feet in the back, surprised at the sudden shouting. Green and tan wriggled away, still shrieking. So small, she's just a little girl. The distraction almost caught him. Zuko dodged the first wild swing and parried the next few with a flourish of what appeared to be completely unnecessary footwork, letting them drive him away from the wagon and their probable leader. And smirked as the pair suddenly realized that impressive bow had been kicked far too many yards away.
Zhen!
The bruised woman bolted around them, heading for the shrieks with desperate determination.
Back off, woman!
Steel flashed as the disarmed archer grabbed for the struggling girl.
You boy, put the swords down!
And have you cut her throat anyway? Zuko glared back.
No.
The woman froze in place, face flashing between fear and hate.
You can't! My baby!
Let her go, Zuko said grimly. Now.
Are you deaf?
The bandit snorted.
Put them down, or the girl...
Bloodied fletching sprouted from his throat.
A bit high...
Iroh's voice carried across the battlefield as the incredulous bandit choked on his own blood.
It would seem I am badly out of practice.
The swordsman hesitated, looking at Zuko, looking past him. Zuko waited, knees bent, blades out and ready, smirking, to hide the uncertainty of. Uncle only had that one shot. They bolted.
Let them go, Iroh ordered, before he could leap after them. We may still be able to save this man.
Hung!
Zhen, in her arms, the woman glanced back towards the fallen man, torn.
Get your supplies, Zuko ordered, shaking off his blades before he sheathed them.
He jumped into the wagon and hauled the dead weight out.
We need to move.
Terrified, she jumped and started grabbing what had been scattered onto the road. Bundles of roots, dried plants, and what looked like otter things. Some of them looked familiar. He just couldn't think from where. Whistling for Asahi, Zuko helped Uncle manhandle the unconscious merchant across her back, then down again into the wagon bed. Stooped and tossed the quiver in as well.
They're going to be back.
Can you drive, madam?
Uncle asked with courteous haste as he climbed into the back.
Asahi will follow, and I need to help my nephew with your husband. He's bleeding so bad.
Pale, she grabbed the harness reins and snapped them, one arm still wrapped around Zhen.
Mommy, they're hurting Daddy!
Hush, little one, don't look back.
But they're bad! Zhen, quiet!
It probably did look like they were hurting him, Zuko knew, wincing as Iroh's knife cut free the blood-stained inner robe. Shoulder wounds weren't good at the best of times, and Uncle hadn't had time to be gentle yanking that arrow out. Too much blood. No way is just a bandage going to be enough. Uncle grimaced, obviously reaching the same conclusion.
We cannot risk it, he murmured regretfully.
Raised his voice.
How far is the next town, madam?
Hot water, Zuko said abruptly.
Lee, what?
Hot water, uncle, for clean bandages.
Ugh!
Iroh went to work, bracing a pot against the jouncing of the road, lighting a few precious pieces of coal inside it, and tucked his teapot atop the flames.
Will this work? He murmured warily.
I have to try.
It works with rocks. It works with my own fire. Water can't be that different.
I won't let it be.
Soak one of their bandages in boiling water. Press it to the wound, with the same circular flow he used on fire. Pick up the bits of fire still singing through the steaming cloth, and guide them into the dance. Dive into the worst knots and soften them, and hold until Uncle could pass him another cloth. It was like trying to climb sheer rock with his fingertips, but he'd done that too. Soak and melt and hold. Soak and melt and hold. And somehow the sun had slipped a handspan across the sky, and Uncle was shaking him.
Lee! Lee! Stop! Stop now!
Zuko blinked, looking at red, raw flesh, still gouged, still not whole.
But
enough, Uncle said flatly. He will live.
Iroh gently shoved him down, onto canvas covering fragrant roots, away from drying blood.
Rest.
But they could be back. He was out before he hit the canvas.
Is your son going to be all right?
Iroh lifted his hand from Zuko's pulse, strong and steady, if a bit fast.
Lee is my nephew,
he smiled slightly.
And he will be, Master
Hung Mu.
The merchant grimaced as the road jarred his bandaged shoulder.
Dyes and spices. This is my wife, Nuan, and our daughter, Zhen.
You get away from Daddy right now!
Zhen, that's enough,
Nuan ordered, looked over her shoulder, just for a moment of heartsick gratitude.
Thank you, sir. Spirits bless the both of you. Even if...
She swallowed hard, turned back to the road. Your mother's right, Zhen, Hung stated. They were helping us, even if I don't know exactly what you did. He left the question hanging, green eyes curious, despite the pain.
They hurt you! And the ugly one with the swords, he...
The girl shivered, hiding her face in her mother's arm. We'll talk about it later. He gave Iroh a hard look and lowered his voice. Just what did my daughter see?
More than enough,
Iroh said firmly, matching his low quiet.
She will have nightmares, I think. Treat her kindly. She will not forget, but time will reassure her that you all live.
Hung frowned toward Zuko. My daughter usually doesn't call anyone ugly. Iroh sighed.
It is likely she saw him dispose of the spearman.
He shrugged. My nephew does not enjoy defending himself with force. Even so, he's good at it. Fortunately for all of us.
Dispose of... He's a boy!
A pity that the war does not care.
Iroh raised an inquiring brow.
Will it be far to the next town? It is good to have company on the road, but I would like to know how likely it may be that the two who fled will try their luck again.
Two? Hung said uneasily. I thought there were four.
There were, Iroh agreed mildly.
Hung stared at him, opened his mouth, shut it again, paler than blood loss could account for.
Oma and Shu,
please.
Iroh met his gaze, knowing what he saw. We can hide our bending, but we can never hide our eyes.
The arrow was within a finger of your heart. If Li had not healed you, you would never have woken.
Healed? Hung said, dazed. Looked at Zuko, and the bandages, and the teapot.
Blink. And looked back at Iroh with mingled shock and amazement.
How did a waterbender get born in the Fire Nation?
Ah, Iroh leaned back, smiling genially. That is a very long story.
That's the bow, all right,
the Earth Kingdom guard said grimly, gripping it in one gloved hand.
Cut horse mung. We'll have to send you a patrol out for the body. Good riddance if it's him.
The man's mustache wrinkled in distaste.
You might want to light some incense to Guan Yin. If those healers hadn't come along when they did, that filth has a record when it comes to little girls.
I was already planning to, but... Hung swallowed dryly. Yes, I'm very glad they found us.
Why can't lowlifes like that go off and die fighting the Fire Nation? That's what I'd like to know,
the guard grumbled.
Animals deserve animals.
Is there anything else you need to know today? Hung asked humbly. My wife and daughter are... Well, I'm sure you can imagine. We were going to be staying in town to sell for a few days anyway, even before this.
He lifted a hand, not quite touching his bandaged shoulder.
I don't think I'll be up to the road for a while.
Moose dyes and spices, right?
The guard looked a little bit less grim.
My wife's been looking for a good, fast jade green, whatever that means. I don't suppose you'd have any advice?
3 sales and some frank advice on cheap fabric tricks later, Hung finally escaped into the twilight, ducking into the inn stable to check on Sand. And their rescuers, odd as that thought was.
He's still asleep?
Asleep again, Mushi corrected, patting the black hen curled protectively next to his nephew. He woke enough for dinner. Thank you for sending Madame Nuan with it. I would prefer not to leave Li alone among strangers. Sometimes it seems he attracts bad luck.
Is that how he got that scar?
Mushi's gaze rested on him, calm as a saber moose lion stalking its prey. Hung raised a hand to fend off. He didn't know what. Mushi couldn't be a firebender. He'd used a bow, hadn't he? Everybody knew firebenders were too proud of their element to use steel.
I just want to understand,
he said honestly. You said it was a long story, and then you say it's probably from his mother. I can see why you're hiding, and that you don't want my wife to know. I was more concerned with your daughter.
Jeanne? Hung said in disbelief.
Why?
We frightened her, and she nearly lost you, Mushi said frankly. If she knew something that would bring trouble to us, and she is young, she would not realize the consequences would be far worse. Well, it's better not to take the chance.
Oh. He hadn't even thought of that. Jeanne was 11. She'd never really want to hurt anyone. But she was scared.
I'll talk to her, Hung stated. But she's not here now, and a waterbender?
Mushi sighed and shrugged.
His mother could heal. I knew, but I said nothing. I knew my brother's temper, and she was a wonderful person. Kind, strong, and honorable. I thought she would temper my brother, give him a balance he lacked.
He shook his head.
Something went wrong. I am still uncertain of what. I was away. When I returned, I should have taken Lee and left then.
Gold eyes met his squarely.
My brother is a firebender, a strong one. To think his son was simply powerless was a disappointment enough. To discover the truth,
he winced and sighed. Hung swallowed, eyes drawn to the ridges of scar under dark hair.
Are you saying his father? Lee does not speak of it.
Sadness shadowed Mushi's face, mixed with a cold, terrible anger.
But he knows a score of firebending forms. They are useful for defense, even for one who cannot bend. But not one of water. He could not heal himself. When he was well enough to move, I took him. We have not returned to the Fire Nation since.
Spirits, what a nightmare. And yet, something didn't ring right.
So why were you lost? Hung said cautiously. You don't seem like the kind of man who ends up not knowing where he is.
I do not.
Mushi rubbed at his left shoulder ruefully. Unfortunately, my nephew is not an only child.
Hung had to lean on the stall door.
I don't really want to know, do I?
Let us just say we misjudged the tides of war, Mushi said dryly. We were recognized and fled, with only what you see. Though I am grateful even for that. Still, we did not escape unscathed.
He regarded Hung soberly.
Yours is the second mortal wound Lee has healed in a week.
No wonder they were jumpy. Well, besides the obvious.
He needs a teacher.
Hiding in the Earth Kingdom is difficult enough, Mushi observed. I do not think we could pass at the North Pole.
Who said anything about poles? Hung chuckled, thinking of the odd dye-stuffs that came out of the foggy swamp, and the even odder people who traded them. Oh, the women were graceful enough, neatly dressed as any Earth Kingdom villager, if exotically different. But the men, especially if they were on a hunting trip? Ugh, my eyes, Hung thought ruefully.
Ice isn't the only water in the world.
That is true, Mushi allowed. But the ports are never safe.
And they'd never fit in at the swamps, Hung knew, after a moment more to think about it. They might look the part, except for the eyes, but the accent would be a dead giveaway.
Accent on dead.
There's still one more port that is.
Mushi straightened.
The inland sea of Ba Sing Se. Hung nodded. I don't know for sure, but I've heard there are healing waterbenders there. I know some people travel to the city, if they can, if ordinary healers can't handle their sickness.
Mushi stroked his beard thoughtfully.
Hung winced, suddenly remembering a problem.
But you need documents to get into the city, and...
Do not worry, Master Mu. There are ways.
Mushi was considering the problem with the same abstract air he'd seen in the most skilled Pai Show players.
What else do you know of the waterbenders?
They like blue? Hung said uncertainly. I've never been to Ba Sing Se.
But you know those who have? Mushi inquired.
Well, Mushi smiled.
Well, indeed. Tell me of someone who has been there, and what they said of what they found.
Did you mean it? Just back from seeing Hung off to his family, Iroh sighed. I should have known better than to expect him to sleep while I talk to strangers.
If we can find a waterbender who heals, perhaps we can...
About father.
Oh.
I did, Iroh said quietly, entering the stall to look his nephew in the eye.
Your mother was a ray of sunshine in the midst of clouds. Her presence eased the heart. Her smile was a rainbow. Even the coldest soul, I believed, must warm and thaw to her.
But he didn't. Gold eyes closed, still weary.
No, Iroh sighed. She was sunshine in the falling rain, and then she was gone, like the tales of the dragon wife.
Uncle? I am tired, Iroh thought ruefully. I should never have said that.
Only an old man's wandering thoughts, nephew. Sometimes, when the world seems coldest, the old stories give us hope.
Maybe. Zuko gave him another skeptical look, before settling back into the straw. But she wasn't a dragon, uncle. I think somebody would have noticed if I came out of an egg. He took a breath, let it sigh out in a whisper. Besides, everybody knows dragon children were special.
And you, who can heal, are not?
But Iroh kept quiet, letting his nephew sink back into restless sleep. Zuko was in no mood to hear comfort. He had saved a life today, yes, but he had also taken one. And that never became easier. Not for any soul who still claimed a heart. He could still feel the bow's grip in his grasp, see the spray of blood as the arrow sank home. It'd been years, but he'd never quite forgotten the archery lessons that were part of every Fire Nation noble's training. Well, almost every Fire Nation noble's. His nephew was a rare exception. Archery was not easily practiced on board a ship, and even before his exile, Zuko had never taken to the bow.
Dragons have always hated archers.
Ridiculous thought, truly. Zuko was correct. Someone would have noticed if Prince Ozai's firstborn had.
Like trying to hatch a stone,
Ursa's voice echoed in memory. An old legend, hidden like those stories the Fire Nation never spoke of to outsiders. That the gold eyes many feared as inhuman truly were. For it was said that the first firebenders had been no mere mortals learning from dragons, but a dragon's own children.
The Avatar has returned after a century of silence. Powers are stirring. Spirits are moving.
Still, his Zuko? Lady Ursa had never been unfaithful. He would stake his soul on that. Zuko was his brother's son.
But whose daughter was she?
He hadn't recalled it before, but Lady Kotone's relations with her husband had been rumored to be... odd. No, impossible, Iroh decided, making his own nest in straw to seek sleep.
And yet... Spirits, if you stacked the deck against my nephew before he was even born, we need to have a very long talk.
A turtle duckling crying in the reeds, blood and the knife coming down. Zuko woke with a strangled gasp in the gray darkness, straw rustling through his fingers. No pond, no blood, no little girl's life riding on his desperate guess at the right thing to do. Nightmare, you knew you'd have them. Close to dawn, no point in trying to go back to sleep. Zuko crept out of his bedding, drawing his Dao to check them. Clean. Uncle's work.
Uncle had helped him clean his blades the first time, too. Water and oil and a shoulder to lean against until the shaking stopped. When the fire of battle finally guttered out and a scared 14-year-old remembered exactly how close some of those blades had come. Stupid. I should have listened to Uncle. But he'd been 14 and full of himself and angry. And he just wanted to get away from the ship, from the quest, the stupid, useless quest. No one had seen the Avatar in 100 years, and he just couldn't take it anymore. I just wanted to go home. But he couldn't. All he could do was leave the ship and leave the armor. Just dress in quiet black and leave the Fire Nation behind. He'd taken the Tao, though. He wasn't that stupid. Firebend and he might as well fly a banner saying, "Idiot Prince here!" And the point was to be alone. A port's back streets were no place to be alone. He couldn't remember everything that had happened. Uncle said that was common in your first real fight. He just felt something wasn't right. I should have paid attention. Heard the coarse laughs, smelled cheap wine, felt the ropes. They thought I was a kid. 10, maybe 12. He'd put on height since then, but it still looked like he'd never be a match for his father. And why in the world had the spirits made men in other nations so damn big? They thought I was a kid. Spirits, that's sick. One Hook Bai, that'd been the name he'd heard. In the midst of the roaring and the stink and the painful twist of his left wrist as he misjudged a blow and it skidded off ribs. He dealt with 1,000 petty palace intrigues before his exile. He knew to remember names. And then he'd had just enough brains left to say screw pride and start setting bastards on fire. When it was over, some had run. 2 were melting in pools of flame. And 1 was rattling out his life on top of a shaking teenager, blood bubbling black in the starlight from a half-cut throat. Never wanted to do that. Never. But he had, and he couldn't undo it. Like stepping off of a cliff, bending his first flame. He'd closed a door he'd never even realized was open and locked himself on the other side. Uncle had found him back on the ship, cleaning up. An unfamiliar, grim-faced uncle, jaw set and hands hard as he looked over the scrapes, bruises, and 1 knife gash to the cheek Zuko couldn't even remember getting. Iroh had helped him clean up, take in his stumbling report, then hugged him within an inch of his life, and stayed with him all that awful, numb day and through the first night of nightmares. Then he yelled at him, once the retired general was certain his nephew was back in touch with reality. Worked, Zuko thought wryly. I never did anything that stupid again. Not just because of Uncle, because he'd asked and listened and found out about Bai's preferences. And anybody who would turn over anyone to that was just sick. But killing was awful and horrible and he hated it. And being good at it didn't change that. There wasn't another way, not this time. It didn't help. Not today. Tomorrow, maybe. Just keep going. Uncle needs you. Iroh didn't have nightmares. Not that he knew of, anyway. But he did get sad and clung even more tightly to his tea than usual. Dyes and spices. Maybe Hung Mu has some ginseng? I could ask, I think. It couldn't hurt. Footsteps. Heavy and not trying to be quiet. Zuko faded into the shadows by Asahi. Hard to believe Cut Horse Mung got taken out by an old refugee. 2 Earth Kingdom guards. Looked a lot more polished than the bullies he'd run into in Lee's village. Good sign. In that they were probably professional enough to actually guard the town instead of terrorize it. Bad in that if they saw him, they might know what they were looking at. Stay hidden.
He picked the wrong refugee. A third guard near the door, with some kind of insignia on the brim of his uniform hat. Probably the leader, by his stance. I saw him talking to the Mu family last night. He may act harmless, but if that man wasn't a soldier a few decades back, I'm an airbender.
Always thought your head was up in the clouds, Sergeant.
Funny, Bao. Very funny. The sergeant watched his men saddle up their ostrich horses and nodded as they checked their gear. Stay sharp. Word has it, Red Ling didn't like Meng either, but he won't take losing two of his gang well, especially to a boy. The sergeant stepped over to Asahi's stall. Odd. I could have sworn the innkeeper said they were both here. Asahi snapped at him. Better count your fingers, the other guard said dryly. That's a Yonaguni hen.
Yonaguni?
The sergeant frowned, absently checking.
Sounds almost Fire Nation.
Probably did come from the occupied territories, his subordinate shrugged, leading his mount to the stable doors.
Give me a good, solid Fung any day. Just look at her! Too small for a real man. And that temper. They may be tough as steel, but it's just not worth it.
Still frowning, the sergeant followed them all out. Zuko waited for a moment, then patted Asahi on the neck.
Idiots. Don't listen to them.
We need to get out of here. Thinking of what they needed to get back on the road, he ticked off tasks in his head. Asahi fed and tended, supplies packed, uncle breakfasted. Okay, there ought to be enough time for one more small errand, assuming Hung Mu didn't just slam the door in his face.
Where has that boy gone?
Iroh muttered under his breath, holding Asahi's reins in the early morning. It wasn't like Zuko to disappear. Well, that wasn't quite accurate, given some of his nephew's adventures. But it was certainly not like Zuko to hurry them both into readiness to travel, then disappear.
A few more minutes and I had best start asking questions.
No, there was his nephew, at last, looking a bit stunned, which was never a good sign. Carrying a tied bundle and walking with Hung Mu?
Well, well.
How are you faring, Master Mu?
Better than yesterday, the merchant admitted, still moving stiffly.
Moving on?
It seems wise, Iroh said graciously.
Be careful, Hung said seriously. Sergeant Ying said those four men we ran into were part of a larger gang. I don't know what the kingdom's coming to. There's never been bandits on these roads before.
Lee told me, Iroh nodded. We will be wary.
That's good.
Hung winked at his nephew's bundle.
Don't want you to have to use that all in one place.
Iroh raised a curious brow.
Dyes, spices, and medicines, though that's more Nuan's specialty than mine,
Hung said, smiling.
It's not much, but I hope it'll keep you on your feet until Lee can find a teacher.
Ah, no wonder his nephew was in shock.
You are very kind, Iroh bowed.
Thanks, Zuko got out, still dazed with disbelief.
You do make my head hurt, Hung said honestly, but I hope you find what you're looking for.
He brightened. And maybe the war will be over soon. They say the Avatar has returned.
And the morning was going so well,
Iroh lamented.
So I've heard,
Zuko ground out. Hung took a step backward.
I don't understand. It's good news, the best we've had in a century. Why?
One hand waved, helpless.
Why indeed?
Iroh racked his brain, trying to come up with something. The Avatar's supposed to keep balance between the four nations, Zuko said, low and cold and angry. Airbenders in the Nomads, Firebenders in the Fire Nation, Earthbenders in the Earth Kingdom, Waterbenders in the Water Tribes. The searing gaze swept them both. What happens when someone's born who doesn't fit?
Hung started to speak, and stopped. Shook his head, green eyes wide.
I don't know. An interesting argument, nephew,
Iroh said quietly a few minutes later, as they made their way out of town.
I must admit, I did not think you would be interested in adding to our story.
And he'd sounded perfectly sincere when he said it, which was odd. Zuko was a horrible liar.
I was thinking about airbenders.
Zuko kept his gaze straight ahead, flicking a glance towards the little traveler's shrine some way down the road. If someone like that was born into the Fire Nation?
Yes?
Iroh asked cautiously.
What would we do, Uncle? They'd be our people. Fire Nation. I don't care what the spirits say.
Fists clenched, but there was no trace of flames.
What kind of balance would take people away from their homes, from the people they care about?
You do not know the Avatar would do any such thing, nephew, Iroh said firmly.
Do you know he wouldn't? Does anybody know?
Zuko's eyes narrowed. The Avatar keeps the four elements balanced. The Avatar keeps the four nations separate. People whose grandparents were Earth Kingdom are in the Fire Nation now. What happens to them, Uncle? What happens to my people if the Avatar returns?
I do not know, Iroh admitted at last. I'm glad you spoke of this, nephew. I will think on the question.
He frowned, troubled.
I will think on it very carefully.
He nodded towards the shrine off to the side of the road. Little statues under a rough-hewn alcove of rock to keep rain off inked strips of paper.
Perhaps a few moments to pray?
Zuko's jaw tightened, and Iroh braced for an explosion.
Why not? What?
Iroh kept his smile mild and thoughtful as he made bows to those honored in the shrine, no matter how startled he felt. To draw attention to his nephew's behavior would be to force Zuko to justify it. And if it did not fit the mold of a loyal exile bent on capturing the Avatar, well, his nephew's reaction would not be helpful.
For every step forward, a step back, it seems,
Iroh thought ruefully.
He does not try to be contrary, I think. Only stubborn. Push, and he pushes back. Pull, and he fights to escape.
There, tucked into a crevice in the rock, a rough circle of blue stone, carved so its shadows suggested yin and yang.
Tui and La, moon and ocean, push and pull. Do you remember us, Yue? We tried to help, and we failed. And perhaps we have no right to ask your aid now, but you, of all spirits, should remember what it is to be human, and to love your people.
I can fight Zuko's love for his father. I will fight it. He is fighting it, though he does not know yet he does. Every moment he leaves his quest to help another, every time he struggles to think instead of chase after his honor, he is fighting, Yue. He is fighting so hard.
I can fight Ozai's hold, but how can I fight his love for his people? We are what we are, the royal blood of the Fire Nation. As you were of the Northern Water Tribe. Those within our nation's borders are in our care, no matter what element they were born to. My nephew has been betrayed too deeply and too well. He cannot trust the Avatar will be merciful. And I know too much of spirits to believe all will be well. Zuko may be right. The Fire Nation has taken so much from the world. The balance may require that we give it back, even if it breaks our hearts. But if there is any way, if there is any way to help us, Yue, help us see a way to help our people, help us or I go no further. I will not betray my nephew for the Avatar.
Not the most reverent end to a prayer, perhaps, but there came a time when a man simply had to say enough. He had lost his father, his wife, his son. He had lost brother and niece as well, though they yet live. If the spirit's balance required Zuko as well, no. No. Not while he yet breathed.
not while one scrap of his soul even existed. Rough stone glimmered with blue. So, Iroh sighed, straightening.
I have been heard. What the answer may be, though?
He blinked and looked again.
Prince Zuko!
It's information, uncle. Zuko's face was set as he tucked the prayer slip he'd been reading back into place. We can't ask too many questions without risking our disguise. There are bandits around here. I want to know what else people have met on the road. Or think they might. He brushed off his hands. If they wanted the prayers to be private, they would have burned them. In the Fire Nation, that would have been true, yes, but... oh, never mind.
What did you find?
No plagues. A few rock falls. We should keep an eye on overhangs. And somebody has a vicious sense of humor. Zuko glanced at a slip near the last he'd put back. Brows up and interested, Iroh dipped his head to read.
Some kind of maledictation on Red Ling. A plea to set two evils against each other.
Reading the last lines, he took a deliberate step back and turned.
We should go.
Perhaps they could move fast enough. Perhaps they did not fit the spirit's requirements. Good as they both were, they were hardly a long-range Fire Nation raiding party. And 3 hours down the road, he knew it didn't matter.
I hear you killed two of my men.
By the time Sergeant Ying and his men got to the ambush site, the bodies had almost stopped smoldering.
Spirits, someone muttered. Fire Nation? Here? Look for a trail, the sergeant ordered.
Oma and Shu, so many dead.
That many firebenders should have left tracks.
The men looked dubious, and who could blame them? But they split off, two pairs of two, leading their mounts as they looked for the characteristic scuffs of armored feet. Sergeant Ying stayed behind with old Gui, watching the elderly veteran walk among the bodies, and curse the war. Gui ought to be carving wooden necklace chains for his grandchildren, not keeping up with the young men and wounded veterans who made up most of the home guard.
Let's not take more time than we need, Ying said aloud. I hear raiding parties don't stick around after a slaughter like this, but I don't want to risk our being outnumbered.
A scrap of cloth caught his eye, seared and crumbling, but one edge still blatantly scarlet. A red bandana. A group of armed men, their weapons now twisted metal. Mismatched arms. This was no army patrol.
Red Ling's gang,
Gui said with grim satisfaction, nodded towards one of the blackened skulls.
I recognize the teeth on that one.
The teeth of a man who'd tried to take advantage of Gui's widowed daughter before the veteran had driven him off with a sword and a bluff. Gui had wasted no time afterward, either, bringing the shattered family into town to work in the inn, before joining up with the guard himself, bringing decades of experience, and a grudge. Ying could put up with the one for the sake of the other. Red Ling's men. Well, that was a piece of good luck for the day, then. A drift of wind blew corpse smoke over them, and Sergeant Ying fought to breathe.
I've never... Have you seen anything like this before?
I have, Gui said gravely. At the siege of Ba Sing Se.
He stepped back from the bodies and motioned Ying to join him.
I think they were standing here.
Ying moved there and frowned.
That doesn't make any sense. Why come so close?
Red Ling's body was barely 10 yards away. Why come within range of firebenders when he had archers among his men?
Do I look like a fortune teller?
Gui humphed.
The scorch marks make a pattern. Put that together with the bodies and those...
He waves a hand, indicating Red Ling, and a sweep of 5 men about him.
Went down in one blow.
One blow?
A mass fireball, it looks like. Not something most common firebenders learn.
One blow? The sergeant repeated.
Incredulous,
Six men dead in one fire blast?
They're grouped together, Sergeant, which means they had no chance to run. Yes, I think so.
Gui shaded his eyes, looking up at the surrounding cliff walls.
Ah, there are the archers.
A snort.
I should say, were.
Seared wood, scattered in pieces down the slopes. Each bow had been seared through as if cut by a flaming knife. Ying measured the distance with his eyes and swore. A firebender's fire died the further it got from him. The army always said, get far enough away and you'd be safe.
That's over 100 feet. No firebender can do that. No common soldier, no.
Gui said dryly, frowned, old eyes sweeping the scene.
Only Imperial firebenders are that precise.
For a moment, Sergeant Ying devoutly hoped rumor was right, and Fire Nation raiders did strike and move on, because he desperately wanted men capable of doing this to be anywhere but here.
One blast while they still had surprise, Gui said thoughtfully. Archers next, and then, they separated, to take out the stragglers. There and there.
He shook his head.
It was probably over before most of them knew they were dead.
Chilling thought. As was what he wasn't finding on the ground.
Why aren't there tracks? Ying demanded. If a troop went through here, they should have left some sign. Oh, this wasn't a troop.
Gui shrugged.
The sergeant eyed him, taken aback. More? Spirits, if we're outnumbered, warn a man. No, not more, Gui smiled darkly. Four, I'd guess.
Four? Ying sputtered. Four firebenders did this.
Or less, Gui agreed. Feel any better?
No, Sergeant Ying gritted out, raised an eyebrow as his scouts came wandering back.
What did you find?
Nothing, sir, Chen, the oldest of the four, said uneasily. No boot prints, no Komodo rhino tracks, no scorch marks where somebody blew off steam. It's like they just disappeared. Like spirits, Ying could hear in the distance.
Well, if no one else was going to say it, he certainly wasn't.
Let's get back, he said frankly. We've got a report to make.